acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from our epistle lesson, especially these words. So Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." And as he says in another place, "You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." This is our text. You may be seated. How do we get access to God? How do we get close to him? How do we merit God's favor? How can we cause God to bless us in some way? These are questions that human beings have asked throughout time, questions that have plagued humanity ever since sin entered the world, separating us from God. People have sought to get back to God, sought to merit his favor and blessing. Answers to these questions still, well, we disagree about them even today. Throughout history and throughout time and different places, people have come up with different ideas about how to do these things. Build a certain kind of temple, offer certain kinds of sacrifices, worship in a certain way. People have devised ways to appease and please what they understand to be God, or maybe many gods. But the Lord gave the people of Israel in the Old Testament a great gift. He gave them a system, means through which they could access all of the gifts of God. He gave them the law. He gave them instructions on how to build the tabernacle, the place where God would dwell with them. He gave them the entire sacrificial system. He gave them priests to mediate between them and God. So there was no guesswork. God told them, "This is how you will worship me. This is how I will forgive your sin. This is how I will bless you. This is how you will be my people. This is how you will have access to me." God told them. There was no need to make anything up. Now, the priests were an integral part of this system. They received the sacrifices of the people and offered them up to God according to his instructions. They would pour out the blood according to God's command. They would receive some of the meat from the sacrifices, sort of as payment for their work. They burned incense for the people. They pronounced God's blessing upon the people. They sprinkled the people with blood, pouring God's forgiveness on them. They knew that they were forgiven. When that blood hit, you could be sure. The priests were the conduit between the people and God. Now, the most important of these priests was the high priest. Originally, he was appointed for life. He was to be a descendant from Moses' brother Aaron. The high priest wore special garments and was anointed to that position through a multi-day ceremony, and only the high priest could enter the holiest part of the tabernacle, beyond the veil, into the Holy of Holies, and there only once a year on the Day of Atonement. He made atonement for himself, since he was a sinner, and then he made atonement for the sins of the people. Great system. All laid out, easy to understand, just follow, boom, boom, boom. But this wasn't always enough for the people. Throughout Israel's history, they still sought their own way to worship God. They would offer different kinds of sacrifices than God dictated at different places other than those he appointed. They would even offer sacrifices to false gods of the people among whom they lived. Various kings would take it upon themselves to offer their own sacrifices, bypassing the priests. Sometimes the people would go through all the right motions of honoring God and worshiping him, yet were living lives far removed from his will. Isaiah tells us, "Though they sacrifice to me, their hearts are far from me." And the priests? Well, they were no better. They would abuse their position. Some of them, we are told, didn't even know the Lord. Even they might decide to offer a different sacrifice in the way other than what God had appointed. And even though God gave them instruction on exactly what to do, the people and the priests still wanted to do their own thing with respect to the things of God. They put their own ideas over and above the word of the Lord. I would suggest that in many ways, we are no different. We too often seek our own way to God. We want to know that we are accepted by God and blessed by Him apart from His word, which declares that to us. If we feel somehow internally that God is blessing us, if we feel that God is present in our lives, if we feel like we are doing the right thing, well, then it must be so. We tend to look inside of ourselves to see if God is blessing us. And we will throw our hats in the rings of all those other gods that are around us too, just in case our God doesn't come through. I don't know, we'll trust in our bank or retirement accounts. We'll trust in a particular politician. We'll seek approval from others to improve our own self-image. The list goes on and on and on. During Jesus' earthly ministry, the Jews still had a high priest. However, the situation had become much more complicated. The high priesthood was a very political position at this point. Rome had its hand in determining who the high priest would be. The high priesthood might have even been on an annual rotation somehow, and no longer a lifetime appointment. It appears there may have even been multiple high priests. Suffice to say that things had gone a little wacky in the Jewish religious system. Is that any different from Christianity in America today? One could say it tends to go a little wacky from time to time. But all that was really not about to matter anymore. All the problems with the priests, all the problems with the high priesthood weren't going to matter because God Himself was going to appoint a new high priest, the final high priest, an eternal high priest. The author of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is a priest, a high priest, appointed at His baptism and anointed in the Jordan. Like the priests of old, Jesus has come to give us access to God. Jesus has come to secure our standing before God, not as vassals, not as servants, not as mere subjects of a king, but as His children. When Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn in two, the veil that kept the people out, the veil behind which only the high priest was permitted to go once a year. People did not have access to God except through the priests. But now a greater priest has come. And all people, you and I, have access to God through Jesus. And the sacrifice that He offers? Not the sacrifice of daily bulls and rams. Not a sacrifice for His own sin like the priests of old had to do. After all, they were sinners. But this new high priest has no sin. But the sacrifice of this high priest is the priest Himself. He is the priest and the Lamb. Jesus sacrifices Himself on the altar of the cross. He, the Lamb of God, in whom there was no blemish or defect. His blood is perfect. He sprinkles it on you in your baptism to make atonement for your sin. God is no longer present in the temple built of stone and built with human hands, but He is present in the temple of His Son, our Lord Jesus. And He enters into the holy place, into the new Jerusalem, which is heaven. He enters there with His body to bring us there, body and soul. The veil of the old temple is torn in two because this is a different sort of priest, not a Levitical priest, not descended from Aaron, but a priest like Melchizedek, Hebrew tells us, for whom the Bible records no beginning, no end. Jesus is a high priest forever, the final one, the greatest one. But how can you be certain that Jesus is your high priest? How can we be positive that Jesus' sacrifice covers our sin? We may ask ourselves that question from time to time. We may reason that our good works or our not committing this sin or that sin give us that certainty. We may think, again, that if we feel close to God, we can be sure. Perhaps material blessings are a sign of God's favor, or good health, or a good marriage, or good whatever. We still look to other things to give us that assurance. But what about when those things aren't there? But we needn't look anywhere else other than our high priest and his sacrifice on the cross. God has told you that you are forgiven. God has told you that you are blessed. God has told you that you are his beloved son or daughter. God has told you that nothing will ever snatch you out of his hand. And God never lies. These promises are for you because Jesus, our great high priest, has said they are for you. And since Jesus, the great high priest, comes as our brother, we too are priests. St. Peter says that we have been made into a royal priesthood. In Revelation, St. John says that Jesus has made us a kingdom, priests to God and Father. You have been anointed in your baptism. You have direct access to God through Christ. You can pray to the Father without a priest interceding for you except Jesus. We are blessed by our Father through him. We are given the blood and the meat of the sacrifice on an altar, on this altar, for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus has done it all for us and gives these blessings to us, the co-heirs of the eternal blessings of the Father. We needn't wonder or worry or question whether we have God's favor. We needn't make up new religious practices to try to appease God or to convince ourselves that he loves us. He has told us it is finished. In the name of Jesus, our great high priest, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.